Chicago winters can be tough. Snow, ice, and freezing temps make every drive a challenge. If you're thinking it's time for a new Chevy, you're right. Your local Chevy dealer has the perfect vehicle to keep you safe and confident on the road. From heavy-duty performance to everyday versatility, Chevy has you covered. The Silverado offers unmatched power. The Equinox and Blazer provide all-weather confidence. Need room for the whole crew? Check out the Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or go for the sporty, city-friendly tracks, perfect for navigating winter streets. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com to explore the latest models, find special offers, locate your nearest dealer, and even start shopping online. Don't let winter slow you down. Find your next Chevy today at ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is up, everybody? It is Tuesday, February 18th, our 7 o'clock hour of sports talk as we get ready for an 8 o'clock tip-off. LSU men's basketball taking on South Carolina tonight in the PMAC. We'll have it right for you here, WWLAMFM.com, and, of course, the Odyssey app. We were talking as we were heading into the news break about the Saints pick at number 9 in the upcoming NFL draft. Definitely looking at the trenches as a major need for this black and gold bunch on offense and defense. Charlie pointed out, too, if you're going to make that switch to a 3-4 scheme, you're sure going to need to invest in a nose tackle right now, because that is a position that is not on this Saints roster currently. But Charlie, I know you were also, you've been clamoring for a tight end and for I don't know how long in these drafts, and you're looking to grab one this year too in that pick number 9.
I just want them to invest in the position, Steve. Like, it just feels like they've kind of ignored it for a few years.
Oh, for sure.
And it's about time that they get a blue chip prospect at the tight end spot. And if they want to do that, then Tyler Warren's your guy. By the way, I looked it up. It's Mechanicsville, Virginia. So I was wrong. I said it was West Virginia. It's actually Virginia where he's from. Population of under 39,000. So, yeah, Tyler Warren, I love him as a prospect. NFL mock draft database has him as the number 12 player on their big board. And this was something that I talked a little bit with you in the break about, Steve. When you have that top 10 pick, a lot of the times teams will prioritize the quote-unquote premium positions, right? With tackle or edge rusher, quarterback, obviously.
Right.
Cornerback, wide receiver, you know what I mean? But at the same time, this is a different draft than others in the past where there's no real top dog at quarterback. Cam Ward's probably the guy, but is he really a top 10 prospect in this draft class? That's kind of my question. I'm not exactly sure. Maybe if he is, but he's kind of on the back end. You know what I mean? There's a lot of times a team will reach just to kind of fill, you know, that premium position and right. get that premium asset. This is a different type of draft where I think if you pick a player like Ashton Jeanty, for instance, the running back from Boise State, and I'm not advocating for the Saints to do that because they still have Alvin Kamara and there's more pressing needs on this roster, but I think if a team spends a top 10 pick on an Ashton Jeanty or a Tyler Warren, they're getting a commodity that they know will be a legit NFL starter for years to come, right? It may not be at that premium position, like, as I mentioned, tackle or edge rusher, quarterback, receiver, you know, cornerback, but you still get a stud, right? And you know what you're getting in that player. It's a safe pick. even though it's not one of those premium positions. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Saints decide to attack this draft. I will be clamoring for a couple different players at that spot. Offensive lineman, I think, could be the move at pick 9, potentially. I've talked with Mike about Armand Membu from Missouri, the right tackle, where you got your left tackle in Talia Sefuaga, and he looked like a stud in his rookie campaign. Great. Now go get a right tackle. You know what I mean? Like, and that's not necessarily anything against Trevor Penning, but if you get Armand Membu from Missouri and play him at right tackle, you have these two bookend tackles that you feel very good about for the next decade. I would love that. And maybe kick Penning inside, see what happens there. That's if you decide to go offensive line. As I mentioned, a couple different other prospects. I see a ton of mocks that are just throwing defensive line there. I get it. Defensive line is super deep, though, in this draft, Steve.
Right.
I would rather take, you know, the offensive player, offensive lineman, potentially Tyler Warren, Teteroa McMillan, the wide receiver from Arizona, as you mentioned.
Yeah, that's been the popular one, I feel like, right now.
Right, at pick 9. But then in the second round, when you're picking again in the the late 30s, that's where you can maybe look at a defensive lineman, because there's still going to be some studs there. The second round is going to have a ton of defensive linemen taken as well. So if you have a guy that you like there, then maybe you take him. So that's kind of how I would think of doing this draft going into it, is, you know, maybe prioritizing the offensive lineman or skill position player at pick 9, and then saving a defensive line pick for, you know, the second round. However, if you do want to double up on the defensive line, I wouldn't be against that either. This team's run defense was bad last year, Steve.
Awful.
So if you decide, okay, we love an edge rusher at pick 9 and we'll take our nose tackle at, you know, in the second round, sure, I would be fine with that too. There's a couple different strategies that can go here.
Yeah, for me, like I said, the trenches are my top priority with this team. I could understand totally the tight end position, because you do have question marks with a Juwan Johnson, a Foster Moreau. Will they be back in the mix? Tyler Warren, big boy, 6'6", 257 pounds. Definitely the ranked the top tight end prospect in this year's class. You also have guys like a Colston Loveland out of Michigan, and then a Harold Fannin Jr., from Boston College, the tight end there. And I'm just curious to see what this black and gold bunch, that feeling is that Kellen Moore is going to want to bring. Obviously, that offensive mind might be more partial to going on the offensive side of the ball.
And that's why I think they'll take an offensive player with pick 9. But we'll see. You know, as I mentioned, they have a couple different strategies they could go with. And a couple different things I would be happy with. But I'm with you, Steve. You got to build these trenches. And those first two picks, I think it makes a ton of sense.
We are getting ready for LSU basketball tonight. The men are taking on South Carolina in the PMAC. 8 o'clock tip-off. You can hear right on WWL 105.3 FM and the Odyssey app. To help us break it all down, Toy Loy Brown, LSU men's basketball and Southern Athletics reporter for The Advocate. Thanks for the time, Toy Loy. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to chat about LSU.
Yeah, it's been a rough season for the Tigers, no doubt. And hopefully they can put together back-to-back wins tonight against the South Carolina team that's just as much struggling in the SEC this year. They still haven't won a game. But when you look at the Tigers' last matchup, where they were able to, you know, come back and take down Oklahoma in a huge road victory on Saturday, definitely you feel like they got some confidence and may be able to build on that performance heading into tonight's game.
Yeah, no, that Oklahoma win on the road. Oklahoma is not a crazy elite team at all, but they're still a respectable team, better than LSU in terms of record. And to pull out that W, that's definitely a confidence builder. When I asked about McMahon on Monday about the team, just how do you keep this team able to play hard when they have one loss, two losses, seven straight losses, and he said it's hard. Like, he's not sugarcoating. It's difficult to keep players engaged. And a win obviously makes a player, makes the team overall stay engaged and play hard so they can get wins at home, hopefully against South Carolina, and going forward when they play Florida, maybe, who's an elite team, and Tennessee, another elite team. But, you know, wins like Oklahoma, which, again, was on the road, they had a lot of things that didn't go their way in terms of health. They didn't have Tre'Davious Green, who stepped away from the program. You now find out the folks on his academics. They didn't have Corey Chester starting power forward. They didn't have Derek Fountain, another fifth-year senior, and they still got a win. That's they didn't have the best odds as far as what they had at their disposal, but to still win, they should feel really good about themselves, because it looks like Corey Chester and Derek Fountain are going to play tonight.
One guy who is just an absolute stud, no doubt about it, for this team. Can't say enough about Cam Carter and what he's brought to this LSU men's team.
Yeah, Cam Carter. He was the hero of Oklahoma. In Oklahoma, he scored 7 points in 20 seconds. I'm not sure how many times that that's even happened by another SEC player this season at this point. He's an elite shooter. He's an elite shot maker as in the conference level. He had 24 of his 29 came in the last 10 minutes of the game. You wish he had a better first half, of course, but he still came through when it was most needed. And yeah, Cam Carter, he's the leading scorer, of course, but he's also the heartbeat of the team. He has a really infectious energy when it comes to just being happy-go-lucky, being cheerful, crack a joke here and there. So to see him smiling again, I'm sure that brings a smile to the rest of the team. And obviously, he's a heck of a player, and I'm sure they want him to show his stuff again against South Carolina.
Before we get to the rest of the schedule, what can you tell us about South Carolina? I know, you know, obviously, as Steve kind of mentioned, 0-12 in SEC play, just behind LSU in the standings. And I'll talk a little bit more about the SEC in just a second here. But give us a little bit of a breakdown of South Carolina entering this matchup.
Yeah, so South Carolina, their record is what the record shows. They haven't won a game in the SEC season. They're 10-15 overall. South Carolina's had a tough year. They still have talent. Their biggest piece is a guy named Colin Murray-Boyles. He's a 6'8", 245-pound forward / center. More of a power forward in terms of his height, but he can play center if need be. And he's a potential, very likely in this year's NBA draft, a first-rounder. Really great defensive skills. He has the strength to body up with anybody who's bodying up Jahni Broome when South Carolina played Auburn. So that just shows you the level of muscle that he has. Also a really effective scorer. He's not someone that's going to be shooting a lot of perimeter shots. He has been working on the three-pointer, but he is leading the SEC in field goal percentage. He's willing to shoot mid-rangers here and there, but he's really an interior force. South Carolina also has a guy named Nick Pringle who brings some size as well. They have another guard, Jamari Thomas, a little similar to Jordan Sears for LSU, a quick guard. I think he averaged about 12 points per game. Sometimes he has it going where he can get hot here and there, but he's also a little bit mistake-prone if there's, let's say, two bodies in front of him, a little bit on the smaller end. But for LSU, they have to really be worried about the front court because Colin Murray-Boyles at 245, 6'8", he's at least 35 to 40 pounds heavier than all the bigs that LSU has at their disposal between Damon Collins, Corey Chess, Robert Miller. He may not be taller than those guys, but he's someone that's really strong, very high basketball IQ as well when it comes to quick decisioning and processing. So if LSU can maintain and hopefully not let Colin Murray-Boyles dominate physically and outwit some of the big men with whatever sort of fakes or defensive savvy that he has, then they have a good chance to win this and maybe win this convincingly.
When you look at this LSU squad, what to you has been their biggest issue in games this season? What's been, I know injuries have been a factor for them this year, but just the guys that are on the court, what's been missing from this LSU squad?
Yeah, so there's definitely more than one thing for sure. If I had to put my foot on just one exact thing, their defense is better than their offense. So if their offense was, let's say, equally as good as their defense,
right,
that would make them a better team. And with offense in this era of basketball, whether it's the NBA, college, even high school, I'm sure, you have to have shooters. And LSU is short on shooters. Their second-best three-point shooter, Jordan Sears, who had a rough night last game Saturday. He played only 10 minutes, finished 0-for-4 his first scoreless game. But he's their second-best shooter at 33%, 32 three-point percentage. And after that, it tails off. Victorious Miller, who's been up and down, I think he's sort of turning up in terms of his confidence. He still is a sub 32% three-point shooter. Jai Bailey, he's really an unsung player for LSU as far as how he's guarding the best player, but he's a sub 30% three-point shooter. Collins, sub 30%. Corey Chess hasn't shot a three all season. Robin Miller, who they want to shoot threes early on in the year, he's not able to make them. I think he has less than one or two in the year. So the shooting has been really disappointing. The team thought they would be better as a three-point shooting group. I think they're around 28% of the team, which is really bad. So they have better shooting. That would make life easier for a guy like Cam Carter, who is still shooting 41% amazingly, while teams are game planning just to stop them from getting open from three and hitting even mid-rangers. If I had to nail down one thing that would have changed a lot for LSU, it would just be improved three-point shooting and just overall shooting.
It would also be nicer to not play in a conference as difficult as the SEC. And I mean, just looking ahead at their schedule, like after South Carolina, they host number two Florida, who I have on in the studio right now. They're playing Oklahoma. They're up big by like 18 points in the second half. Then they host number six Tennessee. They travel to face number 21 Mississippi State. They go to number 17 Kentucky, and they host number seven Texas A&M to wrap out the season. That is a gauntlet. I mean, but the SEC has been a gauntlet all year in college basketball. It's got nine teams ranked in the top 24 right now. It just feels like at this point, you know, you're hoping you can pick up the South Carolina win. But I was telling this to Steve yesterday, like when you're 2-10 at this point in the season, I think getting out of this with anywhere 4 to 5 wins would be an impressive win for Coach McMahon.
Yes, no. If he gets to 5 wins, that'll be pretty remarkable given how they got the 7-game losing streak. They lost games that they should have probably won. Vanderbilt, they lost on a game winner to Ole Miss. They really messed up with Texas and Georgia. Those teams are unranked in the AP 25. Still solid teams, of course, but those were home games against teams that are not so much better in terms of talent-wise than LSU, and they dropped both those games. Pretty convincingly, Georgia was on the road. Texas with a 31-point loss at home, which was really bad. But, yeah, the SEC is a gauntlet. Like you said, South Carolina, they're the bottom rung of the SEC, but Florida, Tennessee, Kentucky, A&M a second time. It's really hard to squeeze out those wins. They can do it. If they have a hot shooting night, that helps your odds. If they're able to limit turnovers as well as crash the rebound, which is probably their biggest weakness outside of three-point shooting, that would help their odds a great deal. But, yeah, the SEC is no joke. Florida, like you saw, 18-point advantage over Oklahoma right now. Oklahoma almost beat that LSU. They were up by 13 at one point or a couple times during the second half against LSU. So, yeah, LSU has a really a competitive schedule, of course. That's just how the conference is. And, yeah, I think one thing that is in their favor, just mentally, they've been through the real, downs of this year. They've been through a lot of just adversity with injuries, with guys just not really living up to what they probably wanted to perform at the level of their own standard. And at this point, 2-10, what do you have to lose? Just play your heart out. You can get it done. You have a guy like Cam Carter who can be captain clutch and make awesome threes and ones and 2 4-point plays in one game. So I think that's a little bit of a, I don't know, mentally, I think that kind of helps, even if they do feel a little bit of pressure being at home and wanting to beat out these good teams.
Twilo, curious what you thought of the report of LSU is going to be sticking with head basketball coach Matt McMahon. School also planning to increase the NIL budget after being one of the lowest spenders this past SEC season. Do you think McMahon's a guy that can lead these Tigers to the promised land? Well, or at least we're just trying to get to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that report. It's funny. I think that came out like 10 minutes before media availability with McMahon. And then someone asked about it. I didn't even see the story yet because it's just I was in the car probably driving. I think that's great if that's accurate, which I'm not doubting the accuracy of. I think it was Shea Dixon who reported it. That's really interesting, really good to know. I think McMahon is a good coach. He had success at Murray State without John Morant, who's obviously an NBA All-Star caliber player. This was a down year between injuries, even early, this is sort of forgotten about, but Tyrell Ward, who was going to be a junior this year, he stepped away, literally found out 10 minutes before tip-off, stepped away due to mental health reasons. That was potentially a starter / sixth man for LSU that they didn't have. So, yeah, I think McMahon, he had some roster stuff that made his job a lot harder. I think he's willing to make changes as far as trying to help his team have the best chance to win. So, yeah, I think giving him another chance and obviously helping the NIL budget is going to help him get transfers, of course. I think it's worth exploring. Nothing that I've seen, even with disappointing losses, I can't just squarely say that McMahon dropped the ball because he made 2-3 crucial mistakes. I'm not saying he's a perfect coach, but long story short, I think if that report is true, not doubting the accuracy, but if that report is accurate, of course, I think McMahon's staying. I think he has a chance to turn this around.
I think the NIL aspect of that report is also fascinating because Shea Dixon from On3 also mentioned, you know, they plan to increase the NIL budget for men's basketball because LSU and the other team that they're playing tonight, South Carolina, were the two smallest spenders in the NIL sphere over the offseason.
And
so
it's showing.
It's definitely showing at that point. If you just look at the standings, it's all you really need to look at. So committing to Coach McMahon, but also committing to help him roster building, I think is a big key to it as well.
Yeah, roster building is probably the most important part of coaching now. Obviously, you have to help players get better, but you have to get the right players in comparison to your competition. Teams like Florida, they have like three amazing guards and a whole lot of bigs that can run and score, shoot from outside. Alabama, they're loaded. Obviously, Auburn's number one team in the country for a reason. Yeah, you have to have, and in this era of college basketball, which is still evolving as we speak, you have to have some dollars in order to help encourage these high talented players to come to your squad. So, yeah, the NIL aspect is extremely important.
And when you look at the home crowd, just curious, is the PMAC still rocking for these LSU games? Are fans still showing up despite the lack of success the teams have in this season?
Yeah, I'm actually in my car. I haven't gone inside yet for the South Carolina game, but when it came to Mississippi, the heartbreaking loss on the game when it flipped back, right, it was rocking a good amount. The student section was filled for sure. I wouldn't say it's 100% capacity, not close to that, but it's not less than half. I think it was definitely more than half, closer to that 65-70% range. I wouldn't say I haven't been here. This is my first year on the job, so I can't say I've seen it fully rocking when LSU is at that level of being good that a lot of fans will gravitate towards. But it's definitely gotten loud. I think there is still a roar when there's multiple big plays. This team is really athletic, so there's a whole bunch of alley-oops and dunks that do happen when this team is rolling, and that's when those big roars come. They have only had one win at home, so that's when I saw it at the loudest, when they beat Arkansas. So, yeah, I'm excited to see how it looks tonight, and if they win, I'm pretty sure that if they're winning for most of the game, I'm pretty sure it'll be rocking.
Thanks for the time today, Toy Loyal. Hope you enjoy the game this evening. Tigers can maybe get back-to-back wins, get a little streak going. Appreciate your time and enjoy it. I know you're also a Bronx guy. Would assume you're a Yankees fan as well.
Yeah, went to high school about a 12-minute walk from Yankee Stadium. So, yeah, definitely a Yankees fan.
I won't hold it against you.
he's an Astros fan. I'm the Yankees fan here. So, definitely appreciate you, Toy Lowe.
Thanks, Toy Lowe.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Toy Lowe Brown, LSU men's basketball writer and Southern Athletics reporter for The Advocate. I almost called him the head coach. Taking a break here on Sports Talk. When we get back, though, we will hear from LSU men's basketball coach Matt McMahon. So stay tuned right after this on WWL.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Gearing up for LSU men's basketball here on WWL 105.3 FM and the Odyssey app. Coming up 8 o'clock against South Carolina. Gamecocks 0-12 in the SEC. Tigers just 2-10. Hopefully end up 3-10 after tonight. Looking at the NBA, NCAA SEC scoreboard right now, we've got Florida taking on Oklahoma. The Gators up 64-38 over the Sooners. And Texas A&M, Mississippi State clashing. It is the Bulldogs over the Aggies right now, 46-42. That game has 7 minutes left to play. Coach Matt McMahon of the LSU Tigers spoke the other day. Here's a little bit of what he had to say as this Tiger team was getting ready to take on a winless in the conference South Carolina squad.
For this upcoming game against South Carolina, I guess what's the keys to a win?
Well, I think you start. When you look at South Carolina, I've been in six games that come down to the final possession in our league. So I think you really ignore the record. They're physical. They're tough. Kyler Murray-Broyles is an NBA draft pick at the forward position. Incredible skill set and physicality. Pringle, who was a part of Alabama's Final Four team, started a lot of games on that Final Four team, provides great physicality and offensive rebounding in the front court. So I think you start there with the rebounding. Their ability to get second shot opportunities is highly concerning for us going in. I think for us to keep getting better, the last four games, our ball security has been much better. Not turning the ball over as much, getting more shots on goal. That certainly has to continue for us as we go down the final six games of league play.
Seven-game losing streak is obviously not fun and not easy to get through, but I guess how have you been able to keep the players engaged and still play with effort even when a game like Ole Miss happens and a disappointing, I guess, outcome in Arkansas?
It's hard. It's tough. Very challenging. There's certainly disappointment when you don't get the results and outcomes that you're working for and that you hope for and you desire. You know, the challenging piece then becomes how do you attack that adversity? How do you embrace it? Get back to work. You know, you're trying to find the right balance as a coach of we got to get better. And there's got to be accountability in these areas to improve. But we also have to maintain confidence and belief in each other. And so I would credit the players for Saturday's win. I think, you know, coming to practice, showing up, despite not getting the results you want, focused on getting better, improving. I thought it was the most connected as a team that we had played in a long time. And you know, I thought that was paid forward with the execution down the stretch. Cam Carter stepping up, making huge plays. Curtis Givens steal. Damian Collins' toughness and grit. I thought Jai Bailey was a warrior for us. He played basically 39 minutes guarding their post players, and then was really effective for us on the offensive end. So I thought we had a lot of guys really step forward and help us find a way to win. And now we want to build on it and keep getting better. I thought the guys had a good approach to practice today. We know tomorrow is going to be a really physical game against South Carolina, and that's how we'll approach it. Every game's a one-game season, and just keep moving forward.
Does the instant adversity sometimes bring out the best in your team? Like, I think of, you know, just sitting a couple of guys on the bench, not being able to play with a couple, and, you know, other guys have to step up, and they did. Like, is that sometimes a lightning in a bottle type thing?
There's probably something to be said for that, you know, especially the timing of everything. You know, we went from having three power forwards in about a 12-hour window to having zero. And so you just got to figure it out. And there's not a whole lot of time to overanalyze all of it. So I think maybe in a crazy way, maybe relaxed some players, allowed them just to go out and enjoy playing. And I think that's one thing you have to be really careful of when you're not winning at the rate you want to win. It's easy to lose the joy and the love of the game that you feel. And so, you know, in a crazy way, maybe relaxed us a little bit, allowed us to go out and play with more confidence. I did think with the four guards, with the spacing on the floor and the unselfishness was really good. And, you know, the thing that was really, really stood out was, I know we talk about the end of the game, you know, the 7-0 run by Cam, the finish, but we also have to remember we were down 13. You know, with about 15 minutes to play. And I think that's when you can really splinter, especially when things aren't going well. But to the players' credit, I thought really stayed the course and stayed committed to the plan. And it led to our best offensive output, you know, of league play. Scored 53 points in the second half and found a way to win.
LSU men's basketball coach Matt McMahon there. The Tigers getting ready to take on South Carolina. 8 o'clock tip-off coming on 105.3 FM and the Odyssey app. And we kind of talked about this a little, Charlie. This program is going to stick with the head coach and, you know, invest more money into getting players with the, in the wild, wild world that is NIL now.
And Coach McMahon talked about the tough season, all the adversity that they face. He used those words specifically. I know it's been a rough year because there were expectations entering the season after you made that jump from year one to two.
Sure, you wanted to see another step.
And the strong play that you had in non-conference, right? But then you get into conference play, and as Toilo had mentioned, that 7-game losing skid that they went on, it's just been a rough year. And so they've decided that they're going to commit with Coach McMahon and run it back with him, increase his NIL budget, and see what he can do with better, you know, better funds to build a roster in the SEC, where it is just unbelievable, Steve. Like, the 9 teams in the top 25 are one thing, but there are other teams that could compete with, you know, some of these better teams from the Big 12 this year, the ACC, that aren't even... Go ahead.
Sorry, they're projecting double-digit teams to make the NCAA tournament this year.
I think at least 10, if not upwards of 11. So, we'll see.
Well, we'll see if Matt McMahon can booster that win total tonight against a South Carolina team that is winless in conference play. So, good luck to the Tigers. We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk. Come back right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Who's ever dreamed of riding in a carnival parade? Well, WWL has your tickets to roll with the crew of Argus on Mardi Gras Day. You can ride high atop a float with everything you need, costumes and throws for two, and it's all for free. Go to WWL.com/contest for your chance to win the ride of a lifetime in the greatest free show on earth. And it's powered in part by Mercedes-Benz of Covington. Let the good times roll with WWL.
So, Steve, when we were talking with Toilo earlier, I mentioned Florida against Oklahoma. They have opened up a 71-49 lead. Florida, the number two team in the country, is next up on LSU's schedule. Texas A&M and Mississippi State, two other teams that LSU plays, are also battling right now. This one's in Starkville. Mississippi State up 58-47. And A&M's the number seven team in the country right now, and they're down double digits to Mississippi State on the road. This is why I keep talking about the SEC, how loaded it is in college hoops. And Florida is a really interesting one. I know we'll do more of a deep dive once we get closer to March and March Madness and everything like that, and we'll fill out our brackets and everything. Florida just feels like one of those teams I'm really intrigued in. And that's not going on a limb because they're the number two team in the country. But if you're talking about your favorites to win the whole thing, Man, Florida is nasty. Have you seen them play yet this year, Steve?
Oh, yeah. I know. And like you mentioned, too, the SEC is just – it's been a gauntlet in baseball, and now this year in basketball, it's been ridiculous.
I think the team I've watched the most, you know, as far as SEC schools on the weekend and just one of those ranked opponents or ranked squads outside of LSU has been A&M. A&M's an intriguing one, but I also feel like, you know, maybe they could be prone to get an upset in the first round potentially. We'll have to see what happens with Buzz Williams' squad. But there's a lot of physicality in this conference, too, that goes, I think, a little bit underreported. Like, yes, they have great guard play, but great big men play all across the league as well. So a lot of really strong teams in the SEC this year, and it's going to be intriguing to see how they do in March.
It's been so tough for LSU just because they're pretty successful in every other sport, you know, in the school, the major sports. Even the gymnastics team is lights out. But the LSU men's basketball team just continually struggles to be relevant. And I'm just looking to make the NCAA tournament, you know, on a regular. No, we're not even going to make the NIT this year.
That's what Coach Wade was doing when he was here. And yes, I agree with you. And hopefully Coach McMahon can get him back to that point. But
there's no reason they shouldn't be, man.
Well, the reason they aren't is because the rest of the SEC is that good. And, I mean, to Toy Loy's point from earlier in this hour, Steve, and to Coach McMahon's point, the amount of adversity that they face this year with injuries and players walking away from the program.
What's just going on with Louisiana this year between Saints, Pelicans, LSU men?
Something in the water, man. It's got to be.
Drink that bottled water.
Yeah, right.
We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk. When we get back, we'll close things out. So stay tuned right here on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk as we close things out. LSU baseball today getting a 13-1 win in seven innings over Southern. The Tigers improving to 4-0 on the season now, and they get to go on the road for the first time tomorrow to Thibodaux.
Yeah, so Nichols just lost to Omaha. That score has gone
final. Okay.
Yeah, they lost 5-2, so they dropped to 2-2 on this season, back-to-back losses. They got up to 2-0 start against Northern Illinois with 5-3 and 10-2 wins. Then they just get bludgeoned on Sunday against the Huskies, losing 21-2, and then they lose this midweek matchup to Omaha 5-2. So,
what's Omaha's mascot?
You know, I don't know.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, Purdue Fort Wayne had a fun one with the Mastodons. I gotta look up what Omaha's is. That's a good question. But my biggest question for this LSU game tomorrow, I really do wonder who's going to be pitching. Maybe Jay just does it by committee, right? And he just throws a bunch of guys for an inning or two against Nichols, and there's not like a true starter, kind of almost similar to today in a sense, you know, where Ware only threw three innings and then Cowan threw three. Go ahead.
Real quick, the Omaha Mavericks.
Mavericks, okay. Well, yeah, I had no idea.
Nah, I had to look it up.
It's a good one. So, but yeah, that's kind of my biggest question for tomorrow's game, Steve, is who's going to be on the mound for the Tigers? I think it, you know, with all the bullpen depth that they have, they might as well just kind of throw a bunch of guys.
The
for
old
like an
Johnny
inning.
Holstaff.
Yeah, exactly. It could very well be a Johnny Holstaff game because I'm not exactly sure like who on this staff would be a bona fide starter, like someone that Jay says, all right, go out there and give me five innings. I don't think that's going to
Maybe
happen
he goes
tomorrow.
To a Gavin Guidry?
Maybe Guidry, but like even then, does Guidry get extended?
Right.
What kind of role do they want for Guidry in this upcoming season? Because we still haven't seen him yet. They've played four games.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Maybe you go to a veteran arm that you know of that, you know, first game on the road,
right.
Quote-unquote hostile territory.
Right, no, I get it. And Guidry is going to be a key piece for this squad, but I think out of the bullpen instead of like a starter. So that's kind of my point, is they might go to Johnny Holstaff, and Guidry will probably throw because he hasn't thrown yet, but they're probably going to use some guys that they used over the weekend as well.
Once again, we will have that game for you tomorrow night, a 6:30 first pitch, LSU baseball taking on Nichols. Looking forward to more LSU baseball. Love this time of year right now. We're back in the swing of things, so to say, with college baseball. And then the All-Star break will soon enough be ending, and the Pelicans basketball team will be back in action on the road taking on hated Dallas on Friday.
Is street clothes going to be good for that game? Or
I don't even think street clothes will be available. I saw Luka is having issues in L.A., so that trade just seems to be a whole mess for both teams right
it's
now.
It's a curse, and it should be a curse because it was a terrible trade.
shocking everybody, and I still
Boo.
Think it has caused an uproar everywhere. It just seems just really lame hater. How the Lakers have ended up with Luka Doncic, but whatever. We're going to be back with more sports talk tomorrow, folks. 4 o'clock, make sure you tune in. For Charlie Long, I'm Steve Geller. Have a great night, and talk to you then. Who dat?
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties. Buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.